Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Graubacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, a strong and powerful Ken Green. Ken, are you ready to do this?
I am ready. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Let's do this. Ken is the engineer of finance. He is a professional engineer. He's an entrepreneur, a speaker, and the owner of Green Finance and Insurance. I'm excited to have you on. Ken, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, my personal life, like if I'm married, I'm married. I have a daughter, son, wife. I am an investment advisor, live in Reno, Nevada. Got in this industry in 2008. And I could tell, I share a little bit about that story, how I got in. And I'm a licensed civil engineer. I'm a PE and have Bachelor of Science in Electrical and Civil Engineering.
Nice. Appreciate that. And what is your why, Ken?
Why, as in why I'm in this industry?
Yes.
I craved to be the advisor that didn't exist for me when I was 22. And so that's my big why. And my eyes got really opened up in 2008 when land development was really big, and it's big again, but it all stopped, came to a screeching halt. So I wasn't doing any more land development, no public works projects. And literally was on the street, well, not literally, figuratively, I'm on the streets with a sign saying I'll engineer for food. And I always wanted to learn about finances and money. And I was like, hey, this is a great time to, I love the Reno Tahoe area. So I decided to get into the financial industry and quickly found out that a lot in the industry were just very hardworking, charismatic salespeople. And got some great mentorship a couple years later. And my big why I'm in this industry, a person opened up my eyes to just a way different way to play the game was Nelson Nash, and who passed away within the last year. But him and some other great mentors is my why. I just love troubleshooting. I love designing, and I love helping clients enjoy more of their money today and create the potential for a way wealthier tomorrow.
Amen. So you mentioned Nelson Nash. Is he the gentleman behind the infinite banking concept?
That's right. Yeah, he's the one who wrote the book, Become Your Own Banker. And I cannot tell you how much I was sick of the industry. And an advisor that I really admired had a book sitting in the back of his bookshelf. And I was like, you know, I've seen that before somewhere. He's like, hey, here, have it. And it was like my one day vacation with not my wife, but we were together for quite some time down to San Francisco, and I just could not put that book down. I was like, oh my gosh, this is real. I got to teach this to the world. And so yes, that was that Nelson Nash.
Nice.
He's the one to open up my eyes. And that's why I'm in the industry today. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here.
Well, fair enough. And rest in peace. I was unaware that he had passed away. So you are a professional engineer, and obviously, well, I don't know if it's obvious or not. My perception is that that engineers' brains work a little bit differently. I don't know if you think that that's true or it's not, but let's just assume that your brain is unique, because I'm sure that it is. So, what is it about the infinite banking concept that your brain likes so much, or that your heart likes so much, or that you like so much, Ken?
Well, I could step back on the engineering side. I mean, It's every time I go into a meeting and I'm surrounded by other financial advisors and I'm asking a lot of questions, a lot of advisors really struggle dealing with engineers because we ask a lot of questions. We really want to dive into details, and accountants are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming into this industry, I felt like the entire industry hated my guts. And because I just kept asking why? And a lot of them, I just didn't like diving into the details. Don't bore them with the details, right? It's just a very sales focused industry. And I think, a couple things. What's really great, and what's, I have this love hate relationship for the industry. I love my clients, and we have access to the, in my opinion, this country, the best financial products in the world. It's just making sure they're used in synergy. Unfortunately, way too many people think one product's going to solve the problem. And the reality is when you just get everything working in alignment, everything working in synergy, and then creating financials that strategies that are specific to what that family or individual wants to create, that's what makes, you know, this industry so much fun, is working individually with families and people. The IBC, and I love troubleshooting, I love designing. I think from the engineering standpoint, details are important. They're incredibly important. And diving into it, troubleshooting and creating a design around it, I think is what, having my brain being an engineer is a very, very nice carryover to the financial industry. The hardest part was just me learning how to work with human beings, right? that was the hardest part. And so that took, and so my also so grateful for this industry because it made me grow up a lot. I learned to be talked down to a lot when I first got in this industry. I learned to a lot of humility and just because not everyone's going to like you. And so that part was great as well. And then on the IBC component, what was just so fascinating to me is why I got into this industry is because I was very aggressive with investments. I was pedal to the metal. I was always chasing rates of return. I mean, I'm an engineer. I like math. And so I was very focused on the percentage rates. Like, why have money in savings making 0% or very little when I can have everything leveraged in all these investments and chase these rates of return? Well, when the perfect storm hit me, when I lost my, you know, the engineering income went away, my land that I owned outright, I couldn't move because it wasn't liquid. All my investments were tied up, not liquid. And then, you know, you still got to pay your mortgage. You still got to pay a check. Well, if you don't have anything liquid, you don't have anything in savings, you're not going to survive very long. And no, an advisor never sat down with me when I was 22 talking about the importance of just having a bunch of liquidity. What I found fascinating about what Nelson Nash was teaching, and I feel, unfortunately, I feel like a lot in the industry, too many in the industry have perverted his message, because his message is brilliant. And it's a brilliant book. And me, who loves details, really his book, his original book was very conceptual. But it's like, wow, just walking through the mindset and everything he was showing. And I was like, if you can design using a dividend paying whole life insurance policy, which I've had fun with, I've called the Bankosaurus now because of my logos and themes. And I just love teaching and kiddifying things, making it fun. But if you design these things correctly, they is probably one of the most powerful places to store cash. And I dove into it. I studied it for over 9 months. I flew down to Vegas numerous times. I wanted to meet Nelson. I surrounded myself with brilliant mentors. And I cannot tell you how many hundreds of different scenarios I went through to make sure this was a real deal. And then my first client was me. And so that's, and I would say the engineering part is, my wife would call it obsessing. I just want to understand it. And I want to understand it really, really well. And so hopefully that's my long-winded answer.
Nice.
Hopefully that's helpful.
No, thank you very much. So just so those who are listening, IBC is infinite banking concept. And I know that I mentioned it at the top, but awesome. So I appreciate everything you just said very, very well. And I could certainly see why you'd be frustrated about the industry, because it is, there are a lot of good salespeople who are out there selling these products and selling them incorrectly and just wielding them as a hammer, and everybody's a nail. And in fact, whole life does not cure cancer. It does a lot of really good things, but when used incorrectly, it's a terrible thing. And when sold to the wrong person, it's a terrible thing. And you've certainly said that. So I appreciate that very much. how best to unpack this? Do you want to give an overview of why you like it so much? I'm curious what you say to people when they say that whole life sucks, what you say to Dave Ramsey and folks like that when they say it's a crappy place for money. I'll just let you choose there.
Well, in regards to Dave Ramsey, I mean, he's an incredible financial entertainer. I used to listen to him all the time when he was here locally on the radio. And I think that he has solved one of the biggest problems for a lot of American households is living within your means, mm-hmm. and saving and not having this debt monster creating financial slavery, you know, for the rest of your life. And so I think he's accomplished for a lot of people who've learn from him as he solved one of the major problems of getting people to save and live within their means. Mm-hmm. In regards to, and you specifically mentioned his name, I don't think I've ever, in regards to his comments about credit cards are crap and whole life insurance is, and he might not use that word, but he hates credit cards, mm-hmm. and he hates whole life insurance. And on both those components, depending upon the individual, I just don't think you can make one big sweep like that. I think for a lot of families that I've worked with, a well-designed policy, and depending upon what the strategies are, it is probably one of the most powerful products you could ever buy is whole life insurance. And credit cards, I'm not a huge fan of the Federal Reserve, and I'm not a huge fan of fractional banking. However, it's what we live in. And when you look at creating wealth, I mean, one of the best ways to create wealth is getting $1 to serve numerous benefits simultaneously. And so when you can start leveraging that, look how banks make money. I mean, they make money off the spread, giving us, well, used to be pretty decent, some of these online accounts, but giving us, what, a tenth? Or one of these high yield ones, sure. I looked at the other day was claiming 0.05. I'm like, how in the world is that considered high yield? 0.05% APR. But when you look at the banks, do you say, hey, we're going to go, fine, I get it. I appreciate Ramsey's approach. Let's save money. And he's right. You have to have savings. You got to have that liquidity. That's where it all begins. You have to have a strong foundation, working interest working in your favor. But you go leverage $100,000, put it into one of these high yield accounts. Let's just say it's a tenth of a percent. Yeah, you made $100 a year. And then you get a 1099 miscellaneous on that. Then you owe 20% or 30%. So you really kept, what, $80, $70?
Yeah.
But then they go out and leverage it and lend it to your neighbor. So she or he can go out and buy a Tesla. And that $100,000, they're making it on an interest-only example. Say they did that loan at 4.1%. You get a tenth, they get four. It's incredible. They're making $4,000 a year on whose money?
Mine.
And yours. And so you take the spread, but then that's not good enough. So they're doing, when you look at it from a percentage standpoint, they're getting $4,000. You're getting 100. You look at a ratio of 40-1, that's a 4,000% ROI. Hmm. And that's not good enough. Then they get to go leverage it out at a 10-1 ratio through fractional banking. But when you understand the model, now, if you and I did that, we'd be thrown in jail. That's called a Ponzi scheme. Hmm. But through fractional banking, legally, that's how it works. It's good to understand how they're able to leverage that debt. But when we understand that model, and if we can apply the principles of, hey, savings, which Ramsey's really good at teaching, understand the spread, which the banks have mastered, and then understand that we can't do fractional banking and leverage at a 10-1 plus ratio. It's actually way more expanded because of COVID this year. They don't even have to have one for that 10 in reserve. You know, they don't even have to have $1 in reserve. But the brilliance of it and how we can apply it for families and how I like walking clients and families through it is that if you have the ability to go leverage that idea of getting $1 to serve numerous benefits, and then you tie that to like an investment like real estate where you're getting four different benefits with $1, or when you tie it, which is one of my favorite assets, and then right with it as a savings strategy is the Bankosaurus, which is just my fun term for a well-designed whole life policy. You're getting about at least eight simultaneous benefits with $1. So my argument would be why I love it and why I think some that discourage it, I just think they just probably don't know what I know.
Yeah.
I think if I had a one-on-one discussion with Mr. Ramsey or other people that disagree, probably one of my favorite meetings years ago would be when a husband and wife sits down and either the wife or the husband have their arms folded saying, hey, we're not doing this. We've done all this research on the internet. And I said, well, hey, well, we have an hour scheduled together. why don't you lay out all the reasons why you don't want to do this? And I'm a huge believer that if the majority of people have the same exact, we all come to conclusions based upon certain amount of data we've been provided. But I think that once you might make a decision, not you, George, but someone might say, hey, I got three sets of facts and this is what I'm going to make my decision on. What I like is I'll bring another 30, 40 set of facts with it and then educate my clients, educate listeners as I walk through it. And I'm a believer that most of us, if we're sane and we have the same set of facts, majority of us will come to the same conclusion. And I think a lot out there that don't understand the value or really understand how dividend paying whole life insurance works could poo-poo it. But then once they have a conversation with me and we walk through all the cons, we walk through all the pros, I would say the majority would come out understanding how valuable this product can be if it's implemented correctly and if it's part of the right financial strategy for that individual or family.
Perfect. Are there certain parameters or criteria that you say, and I know it's always going to be dependent on the situation, but for example, a great candidate would probably be somebody or some family unit that had 6 months worth of cash reserves, that had long-term savings, perhaps in a qualified plan, and they owned a home and they're looking for some other place to have money. That would probably be a great fit for this. Do you have certain criteria like that where you say you have to have these in place first before you consider this?
Specific to whole life insurance?
Yeah.
The Bankosaurus?
Yes.
The Bankosaurus. I mean, it's one of my great, when I have clients come on board, is like my favorite gift is I have this t-shirt with this big, beautiful Bankosaurus. My son loves wearing his around at school.
Does so, he?
Oh yeah. He loves it. And then, some of my clients with kids, they all have their little, Bankosaurus shirts on and it's just, it makes my day.
Yeah.
And the way I describe him, he's just like, he's just your big protector. I mean, he just, all he does is takes your money with you and protects it. And I would say a qualifier, we're number two, the two top qualifiers is that you have to be healthy. You have to qualify with your health and wealth. Those are the top two qualifiers because these insurance companies, you know, they're very, very careful who they're going to bring into this club. And because it's a small leverage of money initially in premium and a very big payout if someone died. And so those are two qualifiers. So if you have someone that's not healthy enough, they're not going to be able to do it. Hmm. And then also income streams, to your point, is depending upon, and then I like using a combination, it just depends, and it just depends on the structure. I don't know how to give a uniform answer to it, but yeah, you have to have your health and you have to have the wealth to justify doing it. Those are two major ones. And I know it sounds like I'm simplifying it, but that's probably the best way I can answer it at this time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I was looking for a simple answer. So this is perhaps a foolish question because it might take us a little too long, but we're in a pretty low interest rate environment, and I don't know what's going to be happening in the future, but let's just say, theoretically speaking, that this persists for 10 years. Is that going to impair these insurance companies' ability to maintain their dividend structures?
Well, they modify them. I think all of them have had to modify their dividends. And you look at what interest rates were. Have you ever watched, you watch some of these older movies? Like I think a couple of years ago, I'm watching Rocky II.
Sure.
And they're looking at Rocky's with his wife. They're looking to buy a house. And I think, what's mortgage rates? And I think they threw out a number like 12, 13%.
Right.
Like it was nothing in the movie. I'm like, oh my gosh, what a great way to learn history. Some of these movies. So, I mean, interest rates were through the roof in the early 80s, and now we're a very low interest rate environment. And so if I understand your question right, do I think interest rates will go down for dividends? I'm sure they will. Why wouldn't they? But when you look at it comparatively, I mean, I have what's considered a year ago was 2.2% one of my savings accounts, and now it's down to 0.6.
Right.
In a year. Now, I have numerous policies in my family. So we have Bankosaurus 1, we have Bankosaurus 2, we've got Bankosaurus 3, we've got Bankosaurus 4. We'll probably add a few more. And it's just a very powerful place to move money into because if you look at one of my original policies and you look at it from the use of today's dollars going in, for what it's going to grow, even with dividends, which in one of these companies hasn't been reduced, but another one has slightly. The net yield, if you look at it for today's use of dollars, I mean, this thing's growing well over 10% that year. Where else would I put my money? Now, I'm not talking about internal rate of return, so it might sound a little confusing, but things that I put in place years ago, there's not one other saving strategy out there that would hold a candle to my Bank of Sorai. That's another word I learned. It's either Bank of Sorai or Bank of Soruses. So
nice. I appreciate
and
that.
So hopefully that helps. I don't know any other place to store my money. No, I shouldn't say that. Mattress is really good. Mm. Savings accounts can be good. Having several Bank of Soruses can be really good too. And,
I love it.
And sure, if the interest rates go down, sure. But compared to everything else, I still think it'll be a very strong performer, especially when you see these models and how they do it and the actuarial science behind it. And a lot of the really good carriers, the mutual life companies, have managed and run operations and paid dividends for well over 100, 125, 150 years. It's an incredibly strong track record because they're not trying to impress shareholders every quarter like the stock market. And I'm not anti-stock market. I'm an investment advisor. It has its place too. It can be a very powerful place to put money as well.
Love it. Well, Ken, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
A difference-making tip, I would say probably the most powerful things, besides learning more about the Bankosaurus, would be create a savings / checking account or both where you put a minimum of 10 to 20% of your gross income automatically and make it automatic. For example, with my company, payroll, I'm paid twice a month. 20% of my gross salary automatically goes into a separate account. All it's meant to do is protect and grow my money. Treat your money like a business. That strategy right there, and I nickname it, it's called the green machine with an E, the green machine. That strategy right there, and when you pay yourself first that way and you automate it and it's out of sight, out of mind, watch the kind of velocity of money is created in several months. It'll amaze you.
Like, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Ken, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you, and where can they get a hold of one of those Bankosaurus t-shirts?
Bankosaurus t-shirts? You can always go to my website, engineeroffinance.com, and schedule a time, talk to me for a few minutes. I'd love to meet you. And also, I'm the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast. And if you'd like to learn more about some of the ideas and concepts, what's going on in this brain, those would probably be the two best ways to reach out and learn more about me.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Ken your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to engineeroffinance.com and check out the Engineer of Finance podcast as well. Thanks again, Ken.
Hey, thanks, George. I had a blast. Thank you.
You're welcome. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.